working? Okay. Anyway, whether it's working or not, it is a tremendous pleasure, personally and obviously institutionally, to welcome Rav Tursky once again to this yeshiva. It's, I hope has been and will remain a regular pleasure and highlight for our Talmidim when Rav Tursky visits. He's a personal Rebbe of mine and a mentor to many of us. And we once again, as always, thank Rabbi Cohn and the YU Israel team for making Rav Tursky and the other Rosh Yeshiva available to us. The relationship between the institutions is one that we take a lot of pride in, and we are thrilled to be able to welcome such tremendous Talmidei Chachamim to inspire our Talmidim. I know in general, and specifically Rabbi Tursky, does not appreciate my introductions. And as I was just telling some of the Talmidim, I'm going to have the zechus of introducing him again on Matzah Shabbos. I'll get in trouble a second time, and therefore I'm going to cut my losses and give you all the pleasure of stepping out of the way and introducing our Rebbe, Rav Meir Tursky.
But perhaps we'll try to review a few different, disparate sources relating to Emunah, and hopefully they'll coalesce in Yetzer Hashem to highlight one dimension of this sugya. Yuman Brachas comments on the pasuk in Parsha Shlach, the third parsha of Kriya Shema, Lo Sasu Achare Levavchem, Achare Enechem. Gemara says that Achare Levavchem Zuminus, and Achare Enechem Zuznus. That Achare Enechem leads to Znus is straightforward. What does it mean that Achare Levavchem leads to Minus? There is a very famous maimer from Rav Elchanan, where Rav Elchanan explains that the lave desires, it has tivus, and then a person concocts a conceptual religious framework which justifies what he wants to do for not reasons which stem from seichel and from intellectual conviction, but a person wants to justify what he's doing. So to justify his indulging his taivis, achre the vavchem, so the person comes up with he constructs this framework of minus. Because otherwise, Rav Elchanan says, there's a disconnect between how does levavchem lead to minus. Levavchem is lev, the lev desires, the lev covets. So how does that lead to minus? And that's how Rav Elchanan closes the gap. He quotes in Maimon Chazal that lo'ov di Yisrael avodah zara ella lahatir lohem arayis. The Yesod is obviously doesn't need anyone's Haskama, certainly not mine. The Yesod is certainly true, but Yitachin that there is another Havana in that Gemara as well. If you have access to the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, so the Rambam writes. Earlier, he had quoted the psukim of Al Tifnu al Alilim and Fen Tidrosh le Elohehem Lemo Echa Yavdu. And then the Rambam continues and writes, V'chol halavana elu v'inyan echad hein. These various lavin, the content, the thrust of all the lavin is the same. V'hu, and that is, Shelo yifna achav odazara. then a person shouldn't look in the direction. A person shouldn't engage with Avodah Zarah. Then the Rambam continues and generalizes. Avodah Zarah is not the only forbidden turf or forbidden territory in terms of a person's intellectual explorations, in terms of a person's intellectual touring. Any thought that potentially can cause a person to uproot one of the fundamental beliefs of Torah, one of the Yud Gimel Ikar, one of, or certainly that, maybe others as well. Musarin anu shalola ha'alosa al libenu. As we read the halacha, Rabbi, saying, note the Rambam's the way the Rambam uses the word lev and what the word lev means in this context. So we're prohibited from gratuitously conjuring up any thought, from needlessly engaging in any thought which potentially can uproot one of the fundamental principles of Torah. We're not allowed to turn our minds in that direction towards such a thought. Because what will happen is that we'll think and we'll be drawn achar hirhurei halev. So lev here doesn't seem to translate as heart, right? Hirhurei halev, the thoughts of the lev. Mipnei shedaito shel adam ktsara. A person's understanding is very limited. V'lo kol hadeos yicholos lahasek ha'emez al boryo. Not all minds, not all intellects are equipped to be able to distinguish truth from falsehood, to be able to differentiate emes from sheker, to see through the veneer of falsehood. And given that that's the case, v'im yimoshech kol odam acha machshavas liba, if a person will allow himself to, again, just in an undisciplined way, to recklessly be drawn after the thoughts of his lev, again, clearly for the Rambam, lev in this context means mind, not heart. Nimtza machriv es ha'olam lefikot zedaita. He'll cause a churban because of the limitedness of his understanding. Ketzad, how would this happen? Pa'omim yosu acha avodah zarah. Sometimes he'll let his mind wander in the area of avodah zarah. Upa'omim. Other times, again, if he's undisciplined intellectually, yachshav b'yichud habore shema hu shema eino. Whether it's a conversation between two people or whether it's in an internal dialogue that a person has, truth doesn't necessarily prevail all the time. What prevails is what's easier to understand or what's presented in a more persuasive way. It may be the truth, it may not be the truth. It may be superficially it's easier to grasp something which isn't true. Says the Rambam, it's easier for a person to ask questions than it is for a person to figure out the answers to those questions. So if a person has questions, so of course a person is supposed to ask the questions, and he's not supposed to suppress any question. A person has a question, so he should find the right address for that question. But if a person doesn't have the question, then a person is just stumped, interested in touring, wandering around intellectually, and thinking. Yes, Yichud HaBari. No, Yichud HaBari, Rachman Atzlan. Yes, Torah Min HaShemayim. No, Torah Min HaShemayim. What are the arguments out there of the people, Rachman Atzlan, who deny it? If a person doesn't have questions and just gratuitously asks the questions, so then a person can end up, Rachman Atzlan, Nimtza Yotze Leminus. While Inyan Zeh, the Rambam continues, take a look if you have it, Rav Asai. Well, inyan ze hisira Torah, v'nema b'avalosa su achre levavchem achre enechem, asher atem zonim achrehem, kloma lo yimoshech kol echad mikem, achre daito haktzora, v'yedame shemachshavto masegas o emes. Kach omu chachonim achre levavchem zo minus, v'achre enechem zo znus. So it's clear, l'chora, b'osai, that the way the Rambam understood that Gemara is that lev, in that pasuk, doesn't denote heart. Lev sometimes means mind. And what the pasuk means, lo sasu achrei levavchem, is that the Torah says that a person has to be intellectually disciplined. It's essential for maintaining correct emunah that a person should be intellectually disciplined. Let's say you can have someone whose proficiency in swimming is such that he's a good enough swimmer, a strong enough swimmer, to swim out far from the shore. He's if he's bichlal, not much of a swimmer, so he just splashes around right near the sand. But if he's a somewhat better and somewhat more ambitious swimmer, so then he might be proficient enough to swing far away from the shore. So if he's so good that even once he gets out there, he can handle all the currents that you encounter when you're far away from the shore, and still have the strength to make it back, okay. I still don't know if it's lechatchila that he should be exposing himself to the currents, but. But what happens if he's a good enough swimmer to swim out there? But once he's out there, he's not a good enough swimmer, Rachman Litzlan, to handle the strong currents that exist when you get further away from the shore. What happens if he's not a strong enough swimmer that he gets so enervated from the exertion until that point that he doesn't have the koiches to make it back to the shore? So he's going to be, Rachman Litzlan, in of tzaris. Lo sasu achre levavchem for the Rambam zuminus. What Chazal are darshaning is lo sasu achre levavchem. According to the Rambam's havana of the Maimon Chazal, means that a person has to be intellectually disciplined. He can't be reckless intellectually. A person can't wander around intellectually. He can't gratuitously, needlessly expose himself to challenges to emunah. Because if he's not intellectually disciplined, if he doesn't conform with Los Sasu Acharei Levavchem, Rachman Litzlan, it can result in minus. Another source. Let's review Rabbi Osai at the end of Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Halacha Tazayin. Perek Tazayin that the Rambam has dealt with various types of isurim about witchcraft, superstition, astrology, etc. Ovi, Yedoni, Darish, Alamesim, etc. Those are the Isurim that the Rambam deals with in Perek Yud Aleph of Avodah Zarah. Then the Rambam concludes the Perek as follows. He says, Dvarim ha'elu, kulan divei sheker v'chazav hein. They're all false and fraudulent. All these practices, all the witchcraft, the superstitious practices, the astrological predictions, they're all false. They're all fraudulent. V'hein shehitu b'hen ovdei avodah zarah hakadmonim l'goyei harotzos kedei sheyinu achareihin. They were developed, they were used as ploys, as tactics, by the ancient idolaters to try to fool the people, the masses, to attract a following. V'ein ro'oi, says the Rambam, it's in Svara, it's clear that Yisrael shehein chachamim mechukamim should not be drawn lehimoshech b'havalim ha'elu. They shouldn't be drawn after these futile, empty practices. Nor, again, notice the same use of lev, right? Again, lev means mind here, it doesn't mean heart. And a person shouldn't, no bar Yisrael, Yisrael ha-chachamim mechukamim, no bar Yisrael should entertain the thought that there's any mamoshes to these practices. Shenema ki lo nachash b'Yakov v'lo kesem b'Yisrael. V'nema ki ha'goyim ha'ela sh'ata yoresh osam el ma'onanim v'el kosumim yishmo v'ata lochei nosam l'cha Hashem l'okecha. Kol ha'mamin b'dvarim elu, says the Rambam, v'chei yotzei b'hen, someone who believes that these practices, that there's substance to them, that there's merit to them, that there's efficacy to them. Umachashev belibo shehin emes v'divrei chochma. Aval haTorah asra osan eino ela min haschalim mechaserei das. He's a fool of subpar understanding. Ubechlal anoshim v'aktanim shein daiton shleima. Aval balei hachochma utzmi mehadas. Yedu b'rayos b'ruos shkol elu hadvarim she'asra Torah einon divrei chochma. Ela tohu v'hevel. Again, it's all nonsense. She'nimshechu b'hen chaseri hadas v'notshu kol darkei emes b'glalon. And then the Rambam has... We see the Rambam's parshonis in terms of Chumash. He says, if you look in the Chumash and Sefer Dvarim, Parsha Shoftim, so on the heels of listing so many of these Yisurim, Omra Torek Shehizhira Al Kol Elo HaHavolim, Tomim Tiya Im Hashem Elokecha. My father, Zechon Levracha, used to formulate that what the Rambam here is telling us is that the mitzvah is not only for a person to practically comply with the Torah and abstain from kishuf and being shor al ha-mesim and from being ma'onein and reading the horoscope and being menachesh, but it's also what Tomim says is that a person also has to have an intellectual conviction, not only that a person complies with what the Torah asks of us and demands, but there has to be an intellectual conviction that the Torah is emes. Again, not simply that there's practical conformity and practical compliance, but there's an intellectual conviction that Torah is emes. The Ramban has a very similar comment in a very different context. Right, as you know, so the famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether tefillah is to be considered and therefore counted as a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam, in the heels of Rav Sadia Gaon, does consider it a mitzvah d'oraisa. He counts it as the fifth of the mitzvah sesei. And the Ramban says, at least this is one mahalach in the Ramban, that he thinks that the drush of Chazal, or the comment of Chazal, that ula avdo b'chol avavchem, ezoi avodah shebelev zu tefillah, Chazal intended as an asmachta, but it's not the pshuto shel mikra, and the Ramban brings what he considers several compelling rayas from Shas, that tefillah is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So if ula avdo b'chol avavchem zu tefillah is only intended as an asmachta, so what's the pshuto shel mikra? What does it mean to be oved b'chol lev if it's not referring to tefillah? What's the pshuto shel mikra midaraisa? So the Ramban says as follows: V'ikar hakosuv ula avdo b'chol avavchem mitzvahs ese shetia kol avodosenu lakel yisbarach b'chol levavenu. Again, if you have access to it, I'm reading from the Ramban in the Hasogas to Sefer Mitzvahs. Mitzvahs Esei Hey. Ika HaKosu V'lo Ovdo B'chol Avavchem Mitzvahs Esei Shetia Kol Avodo Seinu L'Kel Yisbarach B'chol Levavenu. We should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly. What does that mean? Kloma b'chavana ritzuya l'shmo. First of all, that we should be doing it l'shem shamayim, not for ulterior purposes. Lo shenasa hamitzvos b'lo chavana. O, something else that ula ovdo b'chol avavchem precludes. O al hasafek ula yesh b'hem to'elas. So for the Ramban, what ula avdo b'chol avavchem means, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly, also that same dogesh, that same emphasis, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with conviction. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a conviction that the mitzvahs are emes, and that there's a gevaldike to'eles in shmiras hamitzvahs. Not to have any reservations about the truthfulness of mitzvahs HaTorah. Part of sustaining emunah is intellectual discipline. One expression of emunah is intellectual conviction. Is intellectual conviction in the emes of Torah, the emes of mitzvahs. The Rambam, the context of the Rambam, the context of the pasuk in Chumash of Talmud Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha is in, again, dismissing all these, what the Rambam tells us are avodah zarah, dikra, practices of astrology, superstition, etc. But clearly the yesod of that intellectual conviction applies to kol haTorah kula. Kol haTorah kula. Talmud Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha means that a person has a sense, there's a conviction that what the Torah says is true, that the Torah's morality is the true morality, and that the Torah's ethic in sexual ethic is the true one. That's all part of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, that a person has that conviction, not just that a person practically complies, begrudgingly complies, but that there's an intellectual conviction, tamim tia, that a person is well Hashem l'kecha, not just outwardly, not just externally, but internally, in terms of his conviction, in terms of his thoughts, in terms of his belief, that the person believes in the truth, in the truth of Torah. if you have a Rosai in the Hagdamah, in the Rambam's Perish of Mishnayos, in the Hagdamah to Perak Chelek in Sanhedrin, where he has the list of the Yud Gimel Nikarim, let's take a look at a little bit of what he writes under the Yesod Hashmini. The Yesod Hashmini that the Rambam writes is Torah Min HaShemayim. What does this Yesod encompass? Vahu? L'ha'amin shekol ha'Torah hazos ha'mitzuyu b'yadeinu hayom. That the entire Torah that we have today, hi ha'Torah ha'nesuna l'moshe. At the beginning of the Yesod, the Rambam is talking about Torah she'orsav. He talks about Torah she'bal peh in the latter half of the Yesod. At the moment, he's talking about the Torah she'orsav. That the entire Torah we have, from Bereishis to L'Einei Kol Yisrael, is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'shehi kula mipi ha'gvura. And that every word, every letter, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu v'shehu, I'm skipping 2-3 lines, v'shehu b'madrega sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu was like a scribe, shekolim lo v'hu kosev kula. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a scribe taking dictation. Divrei yomeha, sipurehu u'mitzvoseha. Every part of Torah, the sort of seemingly where the Torah narrates the history of what happened, the chveis, the esedoros, from Adam to Noah, Noah to Avram, Sipureha, the various incidents which the Torah recounts, u'mitzvoseha, and the Torah's mitzvos. V'ein hevdel, says the Rambam, in terms of the divinity of Torah, there's no difference. Ein hevdel bein uvnei chom kush u'mitzrayim ufot uchnan. Is this working at all or no?
Yeah.
It is working. V'ein hevdel, there's no difference between the pasuk uvnei chom kush u'mitzrayim ufot uchnan or v'shem ishom mehet avel bas matreid. There's no difference between such psukim on the one hand and on the other hand, O Anochi Hashem, Ushma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Those first two psukim strike us as being inconsequential and irrelevant. Who cares? Who cares how many sons Chom had? And even a person with a lot of intellectual curiosity wasn't necessarily interested in knowing that the wife's name of one of these kings was Mehet Havel. We don't understand why those psukim are in Chumash. We don't understand. We understand why Anochi Hashem Elokech is in Chumash. We understand why Hashem Elokech Hashem Echad is in Chumash. We're totally befuddled as to why there should be psukim such as Uvnei Chom or V'shem Yishtom Mehet Havel. But says the Rambam, but Hakol Mipi Agvura, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, we're reading from the Rambam, but there's nothing idiosyncratic to the Rambam here. The Rambam is just the spokesman for traditional belief. Hakol Mipi Agvura, V'Hakol Taras Hashem Tumima Tahora Kedosha Emes. Hakol Taras Hashem Tumima, perfect, Tahora, pure, Kedosha, holy, MS true. But who, excuse me, if a person questions that and says that only the psukim like Anochi and Shema Yisrael from the Torah, the other things is Moshe Amaram, so v'hu inyan ein Torah min HaShemayim, Omru, Chazal say, Shehamamin, even if a person is Ma'am, ki kol ha'Torah, kulu mipi ha'gvura, chutz mi pasak echad, shalom omru ha'kadosh baruch hu, el mipi'osh mipi'atzmo, zehu dvar Hashem bozo. Ella, again, the Rambam reaffirms, and this is in the Yud Gimel Likorim, this is fundamental to our belief. Ella kol mila mimena, I think Eder Nuschos in the original translate as Kol Os Mimena. Yesh bo chochmos uflaim l'misha hevino Hashem. Every word, every letter in the Torah really contains within it tremendous chochma. But here's the catch. L'misha hevino Hashem. To someone to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the understanding. And now listen to this next line, Rabbi Osai. It's so, so important. V'ein l'odam. So what does a person do? There are areas of Torah. There are psukim in Torah Shebichsav. In the Hagdama to Perusha Mishnayos, the Rambam has a very, very similar discussion about various agadata that one finds in Chazal. There are things in Torah which just are totally, totally sosum to us. Either we don't understand them at all, as is the case with some agadata in Chazal. We don't begin to make heads or tails of what the agadata is about. Or there are psukim that we do literally understand, we can translate, but they don't seem important, they seem trivial. So what happens when a person encounters those chalke ha-Torah? Says the Rambam, Ein l'odom ela l'halech be'ikvos David Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. A person should follow in the footsteps of David HaMelech, Asher hispalel who davened gal einai va'abita neflaos mitorah secha. What the Rambam here is telling us, again, we spoke about intellectual discipline, we spoke about intellectual conviction. Now the Rambam is telling us we have to be aware of intellectual limitations. There are certain chelkei Torah, hear this, Rabbi Osai, there are certain chelkei Torah which without special siyata d'shmaya, a person cannot understand and therefore will not understand. Let's try to elaborate that a little bit to make sure that we grasp it. Everything in life requires siyata d'shmaya. Everything in life requires siyata d'shmaya because a person can't ensure his own existence. A person can't ensure his own life. He can't ensure his own ability to function and remain in control of his faculties. A person is absolutely, totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Od Milvado. So on that level, everything in life requires Siyata D'Shmaya. Im Yetzah Hashem Be'ezus Hashem. Whatever a person says he's going to do, there has to be a rider attached to that. Im Yetzah Hashem Be'ezus Hashem. A person doesn't do anything in life without Be'ezus Hashem. But the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world in which he gave us abilities, he gave us certain natural faculties, and when that general siyata d'shmaya is there, that he sustains our life, he sustains our existence, he lets us remain in control of our faculties, then based on that siyata d'shmaya, there's lots of things we can do naturally. I can naturally move this chair. I need the siyata d'shmaya to be alive. I need the siyata d'shmaya to be in control of my faculties. Given that siyata d'shmaya, so then it's natural that I can move that chair. It's natural that I can pick up these pieces of paper. And most of what we then do in life follows that pattern. Part of Talmud Torah does not follow that pattern. Part of Talmud Torah requires an extra measure, an extra dose of Siyata D'Shmaya. That's why David HaMelech knew how to learn pretty well. David HaMelech was really smart. And David HaMelech couldn't, without that extra dose, without that extra infusion of Siyata D'Shmaya, David HaMelech was also stymied by certain chalke HaTorah. That's why, because Talmud Torah requires special Siyata D'Shmaya, that's why there's a special Chiyuv Tefillah associated with Talmud Torah. whether it's in Birkas HaTorah in the morning, the Vahare Evna Hashem Elokeinu, or whether it's the Tfilas from Nechunya Ben Akona, B'chnisas L'Beis HaMedrash, because Talmud Torah requires special Siyata Dishmaya, it's not as if it is. It's not as if that there's a blindfold over our eyes. There are certain Chelkei HaTorah that we're not naturally able to penetrate, that we're not naturally able to grasp, and it's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tefillah of Gal Einai, of open my eyes, of lift that blindfold, that the Va'abita Niflaos Mitarasecha follows. A person has to be intellectually disciplined. A person has to have intellectual conviction in the truth of all of Torah. And the person has to be very, very much aware of and attuned to intellectual limitations. In a similar vein, if you take a look in the Rambam at the end of Sefer Avodah, at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, again, where the Rambam returns to this theme of intellectual limitations, the Rambam says that a person should make every effort to understand Tamei Mitzvos. He should try to unravel and decipher what the goal and purpose of Chukim are. But, says the Rambam, let's say that after that his bonanus, b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-Kedosha, kifi kocha, this is Me'ila Ches, after that his bonanus, b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-Kedosha, kifi kocha, let's say there remain things, shelo yimtza lo tam, v'lo yeda lo ila. So, a person has to be careful. Shelo yivait adam. A person, Rachman Atzlan, shouldn't be contemptuous of what he doesn't understand. Shelo yeda taiman. Harei nema b'Torah. Skip the line. Harei nema b'Torah. It says in the Chumash, Ushmartem es kol chukosai ves kol mishpatai v'asisem osam. Right, so there are two verbs there. There's Ushmartem and there's Vasisim. Va'omu Chachamim, Litein Shmira Vasiya L'chukim Kim Mishpatim. With regard to both Chukim and Mishpatim, the Torah demands of us Shmira and Asiya. Says the Rambam, Asiya Yidua Hi. We understand what Asiya refers to. Shiyasa chukim, to practically comply. Asiya means there's a mitzvah of tefillin, put on the tefillin. There's a mitzvah not to eat nevela, don't eat nevela. That's what asiyas mitzvah is. But what does shmira mean then, as distinct from asiya? Says the Rambam, v'hashmira sheyizoher bohen, v'lo yedame shehen p'chusin min hamishpatim. Shmira, the way my father's Zichron Levracha used to translate, Shmira means that a person should have esteem for mitzvahs. There should be a respect and a reverence for mitzvahs, regardless of whether or not the gal einai, whether or not a person was worthy of having that tefillah of gal einai answered. What doesn't make sense in Torah to us makes sense, and we need to be, it's part of our emunah to be aware of our intellectual limitations. let's take a look at another Maamar Malkum in Perek Beis Vechos Deos, Halacha Gimel, Rabbi Asai. As you'll recall, so throughout Perek Aleph, the Rambam was presenting the mitzvah of Halachta V'drachav, which says that with regard to the spectrum of most midos, a person is supposed to blend the two extremes. So a person shouldn't be an ascetic, a person shouldn't be a hedonist, but those two should be blended, and the person should eat moderately to sustain his health, to be able to function vigorously at the maximum capacity. A person shouldn't be so miserly that he doesn't give tzedakah. A person shouldn't be so generous that he gives away everything that he has, that he gives away too much, so that he himself ends up, achman al-tzad, in the poorhouse. A person should give generously. Kahena v'chahena. Then the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel tells us that there are two exceptions to that rule. Two exceptions where a person is supposed to go to the extreme, where he's not supposed to blend the extremes so that he ends up in the middle. What are those two exceptions? So the first one is gova halev, haughtiness, arrogance. She'ein haderech hatova, she'yihye ha'odom onav bilvad. The right, good path doesn't only mandate that a person should be humble, ela she'ye shval ruach, but he should be exceedingly humble. The fichach ne'ama b'Moshe Rabbeinu onav ma'od, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu is described as being exceedingly humble, v'lo ne'ama onav bilvad. U'lefichach tzivu chachomim ma'od ma'od havishval ruach. That a person should be exceedingly low in spirit. Now listen to this next sentence in the Rambam. It's maybe the most powerful, one of the most powerful sentences in the entire Yad. Ve'od amru shekol hamagbia libo, a person who's arrogant. So the Rambam writes kofar ba'ika. The Rambam doesn't write it's ki'ilu kofar ba'ika. He doesn't say ke kofar ba'ika. The Rambam says kol hamagbia libo kofar ba'ika. An arrogant person is kofar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A ma'amin, an indispensable part of the profile of a ma'amin, is that the person has humility. How can a person not be humble if there's a Ribono Shel Olam who's Tmim Deos, who's perfect, whose greatness is beyond description, and we're nothings. Ke'efes v'tohu. How can a person not be? Kol ha'magbia libo, there's no chaf ha'dimyon in the Rambam's presentation. Kol ha'magbia libo is chaf ha'ba'ikar. Emunah, authentic emunah, has to translate into that defining character trait of anova, of humility. Arrogance and emunah are atati d'sasre. Chazal say in the Gemara in Sota that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about a gas ruach. Again, someone who's haughty, who's arrogant. That ein ani v'hu yecholim lodo ba'olam. The world isn't big enough to accommodate both of us. It's a tati d'sasre. a world in which there's a Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't leave room for arrogance, for haughtiness, for brazenness. A world in which there's arrogance, haughtiness, and brazenness doesn't leave room for a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's getting late, so maybe just one final order. A little bit meinyana de yoma in terms of Purim. Before we see it, but again, just to review briefly, the intellectual discipline that the Torah mandates in Lo Sasur Acharei Levavchem clearly correlates to the humility that we need to have to recognize not only sort of generic intellectual limitations, but our own personal, individual intellectual limitations, which is why we defer to and accept the Torah with that absolute sense of intellectual conviction. In Hilchos Megillah of Chanukah, so the Rambam does, as he does in all halachas, set of halachas in the Yad, so underneath the koteris of the halachas, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to deal with in the following prakim. So he says, Yesh Bechlolon in Hilchos Megillah of Chanukah include Shtei mitzvahs esei midivrei sofim. There are two mitzvahs derabbanan, which are explicated here, and as such, since the derabbanan ainun min haminyan, they're not included in the minyan tarjag. So that numbering is very interesting. Right? The Rambam says there are two mitzvahs. The Pashtus says that he's referring to Kriyas HaMegillah and Chanukah. Right? Kriyas HaMegillah is manu mitzvah sesami divrei sofim, and then in Hilchos Chanukah Gimel Hadlokas Aneris Behen Mitzvah Midivrei Sofim to Kriyas HaMegillah. So it's clear that when the Rambam tells us that Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah deal with two mitzvahs Eser Midivrei Sofim, he's referring to Kriyas HaMegillah and Chanukah. What's strange is that Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah deals with more than that. Hilchos Megillah also deals with Matanos Levyonim. It also deals with Shalach Manas. It also deals with Seudas Purim. Chanukah deals with the Isser Hesped V'Tainus on Chanukah. The Chi of Halel on Chanukah. So how did the Rambam whittle that down to two mitzvahs? Bechlal, one might ask the question, why is it really important to count mitzvahs derabbanan? Mele, by mitzvahs d'oraisa, we have a tradition of tarjag mitzvahs. So we want to try to identify what those tarjag mitzvahs are. So there's a need to delineate and to count. Why does the Rambam Bechlal need to delineate and count mitzvahs d'rabbanan? But imkvar, if he's delineating and counting, then ozkvar, so Why doesn't he count the way we would expect him to count? Kriyas HaMegillah and Matanas Levyonim and Shalach Manas and Sudas Purim. So that's four on Purim. And then Ner Chanukah and Halel and maybe Issa Hesped V'Tainus. He should have given us six or seven. What's the pshat? If you take a look in the Hakdamas HaRambam, to the Yad HaChazaka. So first the Rambam has a couple of pages of Hagdama. Then he has a listing of the Tayag Mitzvahs. And after that listing of the Tayag Mitzvahs, so the Rambam has a paragraph in which he says that the aforementioned are the Tayag Mitzvahs D'Oraisa. And then in addition, there are also Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan. And those Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan were also Chayovim L'Kablam U'L'Shamam. The Kabbalah means to acknowledge the authority of Chazal to have introduced the mitzvahs. And the Shomram means to, and then practically, observe the mitzvahs. And then the Rambam poses a question and says, but why aren't mitzvahs d'Rabbanan a violation of Baal Tosef? The Torah says, Eis kol ador she'enochi mitzav eschem hayom oso sishmu lasos lo sosef alov lo sigram imenu. So how can you have mitzvahs d'Rabbanan? And the Rambam explains that the way mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, or the reason that mitzvahs d'Rabbanan don't constitute a violation of Baal Tosef, is that if Chazal would have said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva lasos erev alikos ha-megillah va'onasa, if that's what Chazal would have said, if that's how they would have packaged the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said likos ha-megillah va'onasa, so then, ilu omuchen, had they said that, right, contrapositive, hayu mosif an ala Torah, that would have been Baal Tosef. But that's not what they said. Elekachom omen. Shehanavim, and the Rambam illustrates how the Rabbanans steer clear of Baal Tosef by giving us the example of Mikra Megillah. What he says is based on one small line in the Gemara and Megillah in the first parak. Elakachanu omrim, shehanevim in bezdin tiknu v'tzivu likros ha-megillah ba'onasa, kedei lahazkit shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'tshuos she'osa lanu, to list, to recount the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the salvations that he brought, v'hayakorov l'shu'enu, how he was responsive to our cry, to our tefillah, k'dei levarcho u'lahalalo, u'k'dei lehudia l'doros habayim, she'emes ma'ashev tichonu b'atorah, ki migoy gadol, asher lo Elohim krovim elav, k'ashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. So what the Rambam here says is that the way Chazal were authorized to introduce mitzvahs d'Rabbanan was A, in a way that doesn't constitute Baal Tosef, is A, they had to clearly identify it as such. This isn't directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, we, Chazal, the Chachmei HaMasorah, are introducing this, but that's not enough. B, they also have to explain, they have to have in mind, and they have to, that this mitzvah d'Rabbanan is coming to foster or facilitate or reinforce something in the Torah. There's no such thing as an independent d'Rabbanan. And that's how and why d'Rabbanans don't constitute a violation of Baal Tosef. The Rambam says this a second time again in Hilchos Mamrim. If Chazal, even if they would have identified it as such, would have introduced an independent d'Rabbanan, so that taka would be Baal Tosef. But Chazal, what they were authorized to do and what they did, is there's no such thing as an independent d'Rabbanan. Every d'Rabbanan is intended to protect or to foster or to facilitate or to reinforce something in the Torah. Case in point, example, what Kriyas HaMegillah is intended, Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. What Kriyas HaMegillah is intended to foster and reinforce is the belief in the Torah's Haftacha of Mi Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav, of the Koach of Tefillah B'Tzibur of Am Yisrael. The story of Purim turns around as a result of the Lech Knosis Kol HaYehudim, and it's that which the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is coming to reinforce. It's that belief That belief in clearly how fundamental that belief is in the koach of Tfila B'Tzibur, the koach of Tfila B'Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. It speaks to Bechiras Yisrael, it speaks to the special Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Knesset Yisrael. Nechzei Anan. What's the, if we would ask the Rambam to spoon feed us, to go a little further, the rationale for Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, Sudas Purim, how would the Rambam explain that? Clearly the same, right? That all of the observances of Purim are all intended by celebrating the day, by celebrating the miracle. All of the observances, first and foremost, Kriyas HaMegillah, but additionally, the other mitzvahs Hayom, they all have that one shoresh. They all have that same shoresh. They all branch out from that same shoresh that it's intended to, again, foster and reinforce our belief in Mi Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav. The Rabbanans can't be independent. They're not independent. They're always coming to, again, to foster, facilitate, or protect, or reinforce something in the Torah. And as such, Hagam, that on the practical level, there are several mitzvahs in Purim, which are Einon Ma'akva Zo Azo. If for some reason a person can't eat on Purim, he can't be Mekayim Sudas Purim, he still gives Shalach Manos, he still gives Matanos Levyonim, he still hears the Megillah. If Rachmana Litzlan, a person is deaf, and because of that he can't hear the Megillah, so a person still gives Shalach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, and has a Sudas Purim. They're not practically Ma'akvim Zeh Zeh, but in terms of the root, they're one mitzvah. And that's the Rambam. The reason the Rambam is interested in counting the Drabbanans is to emphasize and underscore this point that they're not separate Drabbanans and independent Drabbanans, because there's no such thing as independent Drabbanans. Every Drabbanan has to be rooted in again, it's Chazal reinforcing, fostering, facilitating something in the Torah. And that's the significance of why the Rambam's counting. And that's why he counts them as one mitzvah. So when Be'ezrus Hashem, in a couple of weeks, hopefully Be'ezrus Hashem, we have this source of observing Purim, so what the day of Purim, what the avod of Purim is about, at least according to the Rambam, is this is supposed to be the focal point, that emes mashav tichana b'Torah, emes mashav tichana b'Torah, that what the Torah tells us we see from our history is true, that mi goy gadol, Ashalo Elohim Kov Me'elav, Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav. Thank you.